And it's time for another edition of Sportsline on WMIC 660 Sportsline, brought to you by these fine sponsors: Graff Chevrolet Buick, Thumb Cellular, Tri-County Equipment, Bench Warmers, Kohler Oil and Propane, the Ball Insurance Agency, Liberty Lanes, and More Motor Sales. With this week's edition of Sportsline, here's Bob Armstrong.
Hey, thank you very much, Stan, and good morning, everyone. The Blue Water Area League last night, Algonac kept up its winning ways with a 42-33 win over Armada, while Richmond romped over Emily City 61-21. That sets up a showdown for the championship in the BWAC next Friday between Algonac and Richmond. The Croswell-Lexington Pioneers moved a step toward the playoffs, securing their fifth victory with a big 46-0 win over KPAC. We'll be talking with the coach later on. Also, Almont had a 31-12 victory over Yale. In the Greater Thumb East, the Brown City Green Devils defeated Harbor Beach in a big one, 24-16. Sandusky kept the homecoming crowd happy with a 20-6 win over Marlette. Ubley clinches at least a share of the Greater Thumb East title with a 43-0 win over Memphis. It's Ubley versus Harbor Beach next week, and that'll set the stage for the Greater Thumb East Championship. In the Greater Thumb West, quite a showdown last night. Unionville Seawing beat the Lakers of Elkton Pigeon Bayport 28-21. Unionville Seawing clinches at least a share of the title there. And, of course, the Lakers get one loss now on their record. They had an unblemished record. The Lakers playoff bound. Now Unionville Seawing is playoff bound. We find that Cass City beat Vassar 44-6. Reese got Bad Axe 48-0. 8-man action last night. The Deckerville Eagles winning machine just kept on going. It was homecoming at Deckerville, and they delighted the crowd with a 56-8 win over Mayville. The Eagles are 7-0. And, of course, Dryden had a, this is a basketball score, 80-38. They beat Kindy North Huron. Flint International beats the CPS Tigers 62-7. It was Morris stopping the playoff hopes of the Peck Pirates, at least for a week. Pirates were poised for their sixth victory. They took on Morris and lost in a close one, 26-22. It was Owen Gage securing a playoff spot with a 34-18 win over Hale. Merritt Academy beats Akron Fairgrove 62-20. Also last night, Essexville Garber beats Carroll 58-20. Frankenmuth rolls over North Branch 50-0. Marine City started out very, very slow. They got a big win over Warren Woods Tower last night, 49-31. Marysville tops Port Huron Northern in a hard contested game, 14-7. And, you know, we saw some flashes of lightning. Wondered how many of the games would be stopped for a while last night, but only one so far that we know about. Millington versus Otisville-Lakeville. That game was suspended. Be back in action today. We'll take a look at the big Sandusky victory over Marlette after this.
Once in a while, good fortune is on your side. You need a new pickup, and because they recently bought two additional truckloads of Ford F-150s, More Motor Sales of Carroll now has the largest selection of F-150s in Huron, Sanilac, and Tuscola counties. They're offering the best rebates and incentives in the history of the F-150, up to $15,000 off MSRP, and that's the best ever. Hurry to More Motor Sales of Carroll for the best selection, the best discounts, and the best deals, because when they're gone, they're gone.
Back we are on the WMIC Sportsline, looking at the Greater Thumb East football standings. We find that the Ubley Bearcats are 4-0 in the Greater Thumb East, poised for the playoffs. They've got six victories, and actually seven victories now. Ubley is undefeated. Harbor Beach, 3-1. They were stunned by the Brown City Green Devils, but of course, shouldn't be a big surprise. Sandusky played Harbor Beach quite hard till the fourth quarter when they played them 2 weeks ago. Harbor Beach is now 4-3 overall. Brown City has a 3-2 conference record right now. Green Devils are actually 3-4 overall. Sandusky evens its record 2-2 with the victory over Marlette. Overall, the Redskins are 2-5. Also, Marlette is 0-4, and we find Memphis 0-4 as far as the bottom of the Greater Thumb East is concerned. Getting to that game last night at Woodard Field, capacity crowd for homecoming night, and of course the home team did not disappoint the fans as Sandusky's Trenton Lee scampered in on a one-yard run for the first Sandusky TD in the first quarter. He also had the points after, and it was 8-0 Sandusky at the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter, both teams traded touchdowns. It was Brian Ross with a 40-yard run, the extra points conversion attempt not good. Also, Chorbin Chisholm had a one-yard run for the Red Raiders shortly before the half, and their conversion attempt no good, making the halftime score 14-6 in favor of the Red Raiders. In the third quarter, Sandusky got out first part of the third quarter, and Brian Ross scampered in with an 8-yard run, and that put the icing on the cake for a 20-6 victory. Craig Jacobson from the Sandusky coaching staff is with us. Nice homecoming victory, Coach.
Yeah, so it was a great win. I was just real proud of our kids. You know, we worked hard here last week, and they come away with a W and against a rival like Marlette, and real proud of them. It was a good team effort. We had a good week of practice, and we had a little bit of adversity at the end of the first half, and the kids came back and played a good second half.
Well, yeah, in the first half, of course, it was a tightly contested game as Sandusky got the first touchdown from Trenton Lee. And then, of course, in the second quarter, Brian Ross scampers over, and it's a 14-0 lead. But then Marlette came back there just at the half there, making it a close ball game for a while.
Yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't let them have that touchdown at the end of the first half. We turned the ball over, gave them the ball in the first place, and then we had a penalty there that gave them good sort of took them out of a third and long situation, and we talked about that a little bit, and but in the second half we came out, we had a good drive to begin the second half, and we did a good job the second half.
What would you say would be the highlights of last night's game, Craig?
I think we took a positive step forward. You know, we came out, we competed, and we competed and made some plays, and for all the struggles we've had this season, we came out, we got a little bit better. I think that's the big thing.
And you have the Brown City Green Bears next week. Brown City, of course, is hot on the heels of that big victory over Harbor Beach, but they come to Woodard Field, which is home, of course, to your Redskins, and the Redskins would love nothing better than to give them a rough game.
Yeah, Brown City, they got some size and some experienced seniors there, and we're going to have our hands full, and we're going to have to play our best game to try to get a W.
And who do you close the season out with, Craig?
Vassar.
Okay. Now, last night, I noticed way in the skies, maybe not right in the immediate area of Sandusky, there were some flashes of lightning. At any time during that game, did you think it might be suspended because of lightning? How did they make that arrangement?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see any lightning at all. I said something to the kids because after the game, when the band was playing, I saw the lightning. And then we headed back to the locker room, and I didn't see anything at all during the game. So then when we got back to the locker room, one of the kids said something that they saw, and one of the coaches said something they saw in the third quarter, and so, but I didn't see anything. I didn't see it at all, so I don't know what, I don't know if the officials didn't see it or what.
But we had one suspension of play at the Millington game was suspended, but boy, I'll tell you, any time on a football night you see lightning, it's really a decision of the referees whether to, and then you have to stop play for a half hour and after the lightning, is that right?
Yep.
Well, I know a couple of times we've had that situation last year. But, well, anyway, as far as the Redskins, your hopes for the next couple of weeks, a lot of injuries plaguing you, or basically revved up, ready to go against Brown City?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're revved up, and, you know, I just think we have to continue to work, you know, all week against Brown City, try to get better every day and come out and compete and put forth a great effort on next Friday night and do the following next week.
Well, Craig, I want to wish you the best of luck in that game, and we'll be on hand to cover it. Brown City versus Sandusky next Friday, and have a great week of practice. 9:23 on the WMIC Sports Line. Don't have any stats on it, but it must have been quite a victory as the Brown City Green Devils defeated Harbor Beach last night, 24-16. Of course, Brown City will provide the opposition for the Sandusky Redskins next week. And as we mentioned earlier, Green Devils right now have even their record. Actually, they've got a 3-2 record, or 3-2 record in the Greater Thumb East, and they'll close out their Greater Thumb East season against Sandusky. Brown City is in third place. Sandusky is in fourth place in the league. And also last night, it was Ubley rolling over Memphis 43-0, and the Bearcats clinching at least a tie for first place in the Greater Thumb East. They have the showdown with Howard Beach next week. Greater Thumb West saw some very interesting games as Unionville Sebring beat the highly touted Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers 28-21, while Reese was beating Bad Axe 48-0, and Cass City rolled over Vassar 44-6. And Unionville Sebring securing their sixth victory. They're in the playoffs now. USA's record in the Greater Thumb West is 4-0. Lakers are 3-1. They've already won six games. Cass City is now 2-2, and they are 4-3. So if they win the next two, they'll qualify for a playoff spot. Same thing for the Reese Rockets. They're 2-2 in the league, and 5-2 overall as far as the conference and the non-conference play is concerned. One more Reese victory solidifies a chance for the playoffs. And rounding out that league, Vassar 1-3 and Bad Axe 0-4. Well, in eight-man football, Deckerville Eagles have been leading right from the get-go. They secured their seventh victory. It was homecoming night at Deckerville Eagles Field, and I'll tell you, the home crowd took care of business. By the half, we find that the Deckerville Eagles led 50-0, and first score in the quarter, Brandon Patello on a one-yard run. Then Austin Fritsch scampers 30 yards for a touchdown. His conversion run was also good. Wade Saldana had a 73-yard pass from Patello. He scored. Also, the conversion pass was good for the Eagles. 22 points in the first quarter. Second quarter, the scoring display went on as John Ridley had a 56-yard pass from Patello scoring. Also, the conversion attempt good. Wyatt Janowak with a 46-yard pass from Patello and the conversion good. Fritsch scores his second touchdown of the game on a 45-yard run. The conversion attempt failed, and the scoring capped off in the second quarter by Brendan Hanley with a 3-yard run, making the Deckerville Eagles lead 50-0 at the end of the first quarter. Some icing on the cake in the fourth quarter as Kyler Williams scampers in on a 1-yard pass from Cole Romzik. The conversion attempt failed, but the Eagles won 56-0. And, you know, Bill Brown, one of the nice factors is you had 8 touchdowns and 7 people were in the scoring.
Yeah, it was a great night. You know, it was homecoming in Deckerville, so that's a special day in itself, you know, and have a lot of people come back to watch that game. We had one of our larger crowds of the year, of course, and you know, we had some kids. We came out and executed real well in the first half, and we're up 50-0 at halftime. So you're playing great defense also. So that's when you're getting all those things together, good things going to happen.
And you know what was most impressive, I think, was 7 different guys did the scoring, and you had 8 touchdowns. So I believe it was only Fritsch that scored 2 touchdowns. The rest were scored by different players.
Yeah, you know, and Brandon Patello had a couple passes there too, you know, on connections with there. But yeah, we're, you know, we don't really have an individual. We try not to. Austin's having a great year, you know, at tailback. But, you know, we're a football team. So, we like to spread that out, especially, we get up, you know, we want to get our younger kids in there. So that makes our program better going down the road, and it helps us build depth because, beginning of the season, you know, we knew we had a lot of kids coming back from last year, but we had some experience, but, we need to build those players that were juniors that were coming up, and, they need to get better as a team, and as soon as you get those kids improving, well, then your football team actually improves.
No doubt everybody got a chance to play a lot last night, which was really good, Bill.
Oh, it's great, great for team camaraderie. All the kids get to play, and we got a nice team. They're doing a lot of things well, and the starters. Starters need to realize that, you know, you need to come out and you need to play at a high level, and that's what we're trying to do. And then so your teammates can get in there and play, because they're working their tails off all week in practice also and scout team and stuff. So they deserve to get out there. And, they played a very good first half. The starters did. In the second half, you know, the other kids got in there and they played great, defensively, especially, you know, only giving up 8 yards for the night, you know, total for Mayville Head. So that's a great night for us.
And they say defense wins ball games, although you had a big score too.
Yes, did very well. Stopping the run, they didn't get very much passing too. So, you know, up front, you know, Austin Spezo and Jim Wanglin doing a great job up front there. And then everybody else, Reese Bates, Kramer, doing a great job at linebacker. And Wyatt Janowak and John Ridley did a great job up front for us.
Looking ahead, Bill, you've got the Kingston Cardinals next week. They're having a so-so season, but you go against an arch rival like that, you got to really be on guard.
Well, you know, they're a very young team, and they're improving. They've got an overtime win against Morris here last week. They didn't play this week, but last week they got a big overtime win against Morris, so that's a big win for them. And also, you know, with them being young, they're improving. So, and again, like you're talking about, it's our rival, you know, regardless of that. And, you know, the other thing at stake here, this will be for the conference championship, this game. So, and our biggest thing is, you know, we want to get better this week. We have to, we want to play at a high level and as far as state rankings and all that stuff, you know, we want to play at a high level so we can, keep moving on and hopefully make a run here in the playoffs.
Hey, Bill, who do you play for your ninth game?
We don't have a ninth game.
Oh. So you'll have a layoff then before the tournaments begin. Now, of course, Selection Sunday is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow night. Time flies when you're having fun, you might say. And would you anticipate again that it's possible Peck and Deckerville could match up?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, with us being close the way we are, in proximity, you know, we play. I think we played them more than anybody, you know. And since we've been an 8-man, before that was always ugly, we played twice,
right,
too, because we're all the same size and we're close. But yeah, we can, you know, and just depends how everything rings out. We think we're going to go south for sure, and then we'll just take it from there. But we'll just go one at a time. We'll get this. Hopefully we can get a chance to win this conference championship next week, and then we'll go from there. And then let those things line up the way they do, because sometimes it's a little strange the way things line up. But yeah, we could.
Well, Bill, thanks very much, and best of luck to you and the Eagles. Having a great season. We'll be talking with you next weekend.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
Of course, in the North Central Thumb 8-Man Football League, we find the Deckerville Eagles, of course, have clinched the championship. They are 4-0 and 7-0 overall. I guess technically Bill says it's a tie for first. They've clinched at least a tie for first place. Peck Pirates are second with a 2-1 record. Peck still has two more conference games to play, and Pirates, of course, were poised for a playoff spot last night if they secured their sixth victory, but Morris says nothing doing as they beat the Peck Pirates in a close game, 26-22. Mayville is 2-2 in the standings and 3-4 overall. Dryden 3-2 and 4-3 overall. Also, we find that Kingston is 1-2 and 3-3 overall. Kingston did not have a game last night. North Huron is in the cellar, 0-5 and 0-7. The Peck Pirates, of course, have homecoming next Saturday afternoon on AM 660 as they take on the North Huron Warriors. And the Pirates, of course, can clinch that playoff spot with a big victory over the North Huron Warriors. They end the regular season with a game against Dryden. So that's how it shapes up in the North Central Thumb League. Checking the BWAC League, a nice big victory for the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers as they beat the KPAC Chiefs by a score of 46-0 last night. And most of the scoring was done in the first half. Croslex picks up a total of 25 points in the first quarter. Hayden scores in a 5-yard run. The conversion attempt not good. Then it's Justin Johnson on a 37-yard run. Conversion attempt again not good. Hayden gets a 40-yard run for 6 points. And again, they did not make the conversion. And the fourth touchdown of the quarter, Johnson scampers in on a 5-yard run. And Joey Johnson's kick was good, making the score Croslex 25, KPAC nothing at the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter, the Croslex scoring barrage continued as Bricker scores on a 30-yard pass. And Joe Johnson's kick was good. And Hayden caps off the halftime scoring with a 36-yard run, and Johnson's kick again good, making that score at the half 39-0 in favor of the Croslex Pioneers, and they put some icing on the cake in the fourth quarter. Jacob Sargent scores on an 8-yard run, and Joe Johnson's kick was good. On the WMIC Sports Line, pleased to have with us Garrett Grundman, the fine coach of the Croslex Pioneers. A good game, Coach!
Yeah, it was a pretty good win for us. We're pretty excited to travel over there and play some good football.
Maybe you can tell us some of the highlights of the game that you feel as a coach.
Well, we were really offensively able to execute on our passing game and our running game. We were able to rush for over 200 yards and pass for over 125. So, you know, anytime you're able to get over 300 yards of offense and put up points, you know, we're going to be extremely happy. And then defensively, we came out, we played extremely well. We played good football, tough football, tackled well, and we're able to hold them to a shutout. So it was a good one for us. We're extremely happy.
And leading by 39 points at the half gave you an opportunity to play most everybody on your team.
Yeah. Everyone got plenty of snaps. I think it was a good opportunity for us to get some, you know, some guys in there, which was great. And also, you know, obviously leading into the playoffs, you know, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we don't have any injuries you know, stay healthy. So it was a great opportunity for us to rest some guys and really get some guys some valuable experience that they need for the future.
Most important, it was victory number 5, which puts you on a path to the playoffs, provided you win over Yale or over to LC. And, of course, next week you take on the Yale Bulldogs. Always interesting and fun to take on an arch rival, especially when it means a lot to your Pioneers this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime you play Yale, especially when we play them, we always throw our records out the window because, you know, each team's going to come out hyped and ready to play. They're a good football team. Their record, you know, is kind of not indicative, does not indicate how good of a football team they really are. They're hard-nosed. They always play tough. They got some big boys. And, you know, we're really going to have to come out and play some good football in order to get a win at Yale. So.
And, of course, Ovid Elsie you close out the season with. Always good to close out against a team that has had a lot of success because it prepares you for the playoffs.
Yeah, they've made the playoffs 3 of the past 4 years. This year, prior to last night's game, they were 2-4. But, you know, they play in a tough conference with Portland and Freeland and Ithaca. So, you know, with some state powerhouses in their conference, you know, we're going to have to we're definitely going to have to get the kids ready and ready to play for that as well. But, you know, we tell the kids week by week, and we got to take care of business this week and prepare for Yale.
Going to be quite a game against Algonac and Richmond next week for the BWAC Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. There's two tough football teams. You know, we sit back there and we watch film, and, you know, we know that they're, you know, they beat us by a combined 8 points, and we were in each game. And, you know, they're good football teams. They're well disciplined, and it's going to be a battle to finish. So I'm sure that they're pretty excited about that.
And it's been a nice year for your Pioneers, right at this stage of the game. You're 5-2 and, possibly playoff bound with a little bit of, great football.
Yeah. Our kids have came out and played really well this year. I'm extremely happy with the effort and the young men that they truly are. You know, they're good boys. They're good kids. And you know, they're involved in the community, and not only are they good football players, but they're good students as well. So we're extremely happy, and we're hoping that we can build on that and continue to see success.
Garrett, any final comments you'd like to make?
No, just that, you know, we appreciate all the support, and that we're glad that we're, you know, sitting in the position we are, and that we're going to continue to build and play good football.
Best of luck in your game against Yale and in the playoffs, and we'll be looking forward to covering you as the football season goes on. And have a great day, Garrett.
Thank you very much. You do as well.
And we'll be back on the WMIC Sports Line right after this message. Guys at the used car department at Grav Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Brian and Keith.
Hey boss, how can I tell people what we're doing here with used cars?
Just tell them the truth. Get a good used car at Grav.
Because we keep only the nicest vehicles?
Yep.
Because we put them through a rigorous inspection and reconditioning process?
Yep.
Because we shop the market area to ensure we offer them at a good price?
Yep.
Will that make us sell more used cars than anyone else?
Doesn't matter, but it will make them say, I got a good used car at Grav.
Is that all that matters?
Yep.
This is used car manager Brian Marks. You can only get a GM certified warranty on GM vehicles at a GM dealer. So stop in and get a good deal from the good guys at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Yep, get a good used car at Graf.
Graf family, we're making friends.
When we need help, there are times we just need to talk to a friend.
Thank you for calling. I'm a new virtual assistant that can understand complete sentences. Please tell me your phone or account number. Hold for one moment.
Can I please talk to a human?
That's okay. I'm a new virtual assistant that can understand complete sentences.
Can I please talk to a human?
No problem. Your account number is a 9 or 10.
Can I please talk to a human?
Bear with me for one moment. Before I help you with that.
Maybe it's time for a new phone family.
Good morning, Thumb Cellular, the talk of the thumb. Oh, hi, Mr. Randall. Tell me, how does Sue like her new phone?
She's loving it. Just the other day, she was talking to her girlfriend.
Unplug the robot and bring your family into ours. Thumb Cellular, dedicated to one-on-one personal human connections.
WMIC Sports Time is 9:43, and of course the Elmont Raiders defeated the Yale Bulldogs last night 31-12, and Elmont just has Yale's number. This is the 11th straight season that Elmont has had a victory over the Yale Bulldogs, and the Yale Bulldogs are in a pretty not going to make the playoffs right now with a mark of 3-4 overall, 2-4 in the BWAC, but Elmont is in a pretty good position as we take a look at the Blue Water area football standings right now. Of course, Algonac and Richmond are right at the top, 6-0, and they got the showdown next week. We find that Richmond secured the playoff spot last night with their sixth victory, and Algonac now has 7 victories overall. They'll be in the playoffs. Croswell Lexington needs one more victory to advance the playoffs. And they, of course, have Yale next week and then Ovid Elsey to close out the regular season. The Elmont Raiders are 3-3 and 4-3, so Elmont needs to run the table to get into the playoffs. Armada is 2-4 and 2-5. We find that Yale, as we said earlier, are 2-4 and 3-5. KPAC is 1-5 and 1-6. And in the cellar, Emily City looking for its first conference victory. So that's how things shape up. Selection Sunday is just two Sundays away, as it'll be very interesting to see who makes the playoffs. And it looks like we're going to have three playoff-bound teams in Santa Lac County, be the Crosville-Lexington Pioneers, the Deckerville Eagles, and Peck Pirates, provided they get a victory over the North Huron Warriors or Dryden in the final two games. Mid-Michigan eight-man football standings, that's where CPS is, and CPS has a 1-5 record right now. Merritt Academy should take that title. They, of course, advanced the playoffs. Owen Gage advances the playoffs, too, with their victory last night. The Bulldogs are 5-1 in the league. And International Academy, which defeated the CPS Tigers, is also 5-1. Well, Merritt Academy is 5-0 in the conference. So that's how the conference standings all shape up. And going to be back with a look at the volleyball action after this on WMIC.
At Moore Motor Sales in Caro, we are proud to offer you the latest inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles and the most competitive prices in the area. Your favorite vehicles from Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram are ready to roll. Check out our inventory online or stop and see us today. Like us on Facebook and get the latest news and be the first to see what's new on our lot. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro. That's Moore Motor Sales, just west of Caro on M81. Enjoy the game.
It's 9:48 on WMIC Sportsline. Before we get into volleyball, we do have information on the Flint International CPS game. Flint beat the Carsonville Port Sanilac Tigers by a score of 62-7. And Flint picks up 26 points in the first quarter, also 16 in the second quarter to lead the CPS Tigers at the half 42-7. The Tigers' lone touchdown was scored at the winning moments of the second quarter. Justin Ritchie scampers 15 yards on a pass from Tony Nugent, and the kick was good. In the third quarter, Flint picks up 14 more points, and they cap it off with a 42-yard run in the fourth quarter, making the final score Flint International 62, Carsonville Port Sanilac 7. Well, as far as volleyball is concerned, checking the volleyball scores from this past week, on Tuesday, Brown City beat Sandusky 25-13, 25-11, and 25-13. Green Devils, of course, win on Thursday, beating Memphis 25-15, and also 21-15 and 17-15. Brown City, of course, clinches the championship in the East Division. The Brown City Green Devils undefeated. Of course, Jenna Wilkie is the fine coach of the Lady Green Devils volleyball team. And you all remember her as Jenna Lang prancing up the basketball courts for the Marlette Lady Raiders. But her fine athletic prowess is advanced to volleyball, and she's done a super job with those Brown City Lady Green Devils, as they'll be getting into the tournaments very, very quickly. Also on Thursday, it was Ubley over Marlette, 25-18, 25-19, and 25-13. Harbor Beach beat Sandusky, but they had to go, I think, five matches. Let's see. It was Harbor Beach over Sandusky, 26-24. And 25-22, and then Sandusky came back, beating the Pirates by a score of 19-25 and 23-25. But Harbor Beach prevailed in the fifth round, 15-13. In the Greater Thumb West, it was Bad Axe over Vassar, Reese beats the Lakers, and Unionville Seaboring over Cass City. Looking at the schedule for this coming week in volleyball in the East, it's Memphis at Sandusky, Brown City goes to Ubley, and Harbor Beach is at Marlette, and Thursday Marlette plays at Memphis. In the West, it's USA at Bad Axe on Tuesday, and we find that also Reese is at Cass City, and Lakers play at Bad Axe. Thursday it's USA at Lakers, Reese at Bad Axe, and Cass City is at Vassar. Standings, as we said, Brown City has clinched the championship of the East with a 7-0 record. Then it's Ubley, 4-3, followed by Memphis and Marlette and Sandusky and Harbor Beach, four-way tie for third place between Memphis, Marlette, Sandusky, and Harbor Beach, all 2-4 records. In the West Division, Reese prevails with a 6-0 record. Then it's Cass City, 4-2. Indianville, Sebring, and Bad Axe tied for third with 3-2 records. Lakers in fifth place, 1-5. Vassar is 0-6. And that basically is the rundown on volleyball. Take a look at the Greater Thumb Conference boys soccer. They have a North and South division. And in the South, the Marlette Red Raiders have clinched the title with a 5-0 record. Then it's Dryden 3-2. Memphis is 2-3. And Brown City 0-5. In the North, Unionville Sebring has clinched the championship with a 3-0 record. Harbor Beach is 2-1. Bad Axe also 2-1. The Lakers are 0-5. Actually, there's been a bunch of ties also. Unionville Sebring's had two ties, so has Harbor Beach and Bad Axe. As far as the last week's competition in soccer, we look at Bad Axe beating the Lakers by a score of 7-0. It was Memphis defeating Brown City by a score of 5-1. Marlette scoring a 1-0 victory over Dryden. And they had a 0-0 tie between Unionville Sebring and the Harbor Beach Pirates. And now this coming Wednesday, Harbor Beach is at Lakers. Unionville Sebring is at Bad Axe. Memphis is at Marlette. And Dryden plays at Brown City. Well, we've got a couple minutes left, and we can sort of take a look at some of the key football matchups and the importance of the games in weeks 8 and 9. A very important weekend for the Peck Pirates. It's homecoming, always a great time. And, of course, Peck got lights in their field, maybe 7-8 years ago, but they still make sure that their homecoming game is played on Saturday afternoon. It's always been a big occasion. They, of course, have a lot of cookouts and a big parade and all that, and they're going to have the festivities next Saturday, and North Huron Warriors will provide the opposition for the Peck Pirates. It's a very important game for the Pirates. They've had a very good season, but they were upended last night by Morris, 26-12. Really, Morris is not as strong as they were last year, and Deckerville's taken advantage of that, and some of the other teams, too. But last night, Morris was ready and sort of surprised the Pirates with a 26-22 victory. So Pirates have to work next week and beat North Huron. Of course, they still have Dryden in the ninth game to get that elusive sixth victory, which would qualify them for the playoffs. Deckerville just having another tremendous season, and they beat Mayville by a score of 56-8. They've got our rival Kingston Cardinals. Cardinals, a young team, but again, Eagles have secured a playoff spot. Croswell-Lexington has Yale next week. The Pioneers having a good season. They need another victory, though, to get into the playoffs. And the Yale Bulldogs have been down this year, but as Coach Grundman told us on the sports line, and you heard it, it's one of those, Marlette, Sandusky, Deckerville, ugly games. You put away the scorebooks and any statistics because it's quite an arch rival. Croslex going up against Yale. So that's going to be a big one next week. Also in the BWAC, the championship will be decided when Richmond will go up against Algonac, both these teams with unblemished records. Also, another important matchup next week, Unionville Sebring, and they've secured at least a tie for the Greater Thumb West. The Lakers have to win next week so they can secure that tie with Unionville Sebring. Those two teams, it's always a big arch rivalry, and last night Unionville Sebring prevailed, beating the Lakers of Elkton Pigeon Bayport. Another key game, Sandusky playing Brown City. Brown City Green Devils with their victory over Harbor Beach, and Sandusky beating Marlette. And Brown City, if they would win in their next two games, would finish with a 5-4 record, and you never know, sometimes those 5-4 teams sort of eke into the playoffs. So it's a very important game for Brown City. Sandusky gets on the right track with a victory over Marlette, and of course they were upended by Ubley, which has already clinched share of the leadership in the Greater Thumb East. Ubley has a date with Harbor Beach next week, and the Pirates got back into the thick of things with, Harbor Beach lost last night, which puts them at a disadvantage as far as the league championship is concerned. If Hubley would beat Harbor Beach, it would be Hubley sole winner of the Greater Thumb East. So a lot of important eighth-week games. We're going to be doing the broadcast of the Brown City-Sandusky game next Friday from Woodard Field. And then on Saturday, it's going to be the Peck Pirates going up against North Huron for homecoming. Thanks to Stan Grabitz for producing this program. This is Bob Armstrong. Have yourself a great week.